Keith Braveheart, welcome, first of all, to Dakota Midday. We're going to talk about this new exhibition. Tell me its title.
The title of the exhibition is The Horse Nation of the Ochete Shakoni.
And what is its origin? Where did you start thinking about this? This has been a while that it's been in your mind.
The exhibition goes back to, for me personally, my involvement working on the Rosebud Reservation in Mission, South Dakota. I worked for the Sinte Gleshka University. And within that university, I worked for a system of care program. And the program was called Tiwaheg Lukinipi, which translates into bringing the family back to life. And that program offers different services to the community of Rosebud. And one of those services that they provide, which was really successful and unique, was equine-assisted mental health therapy. Hmm. So working with the horses, and everything was built on a cultural structure that really reinforced Lakota philosophies and ways of life. And so this relationship with the horse existed for Lakota perspective, and they just kind of caught on to a lot of the clinical advances and stuff that we're catching on with Western society. So working with horses as equine therapy was really being proven out there in Western society, and they started to work with clinicians there at Rosebud. And my role was a social marketing manager, so I was in charge of putting out material that showed the community what the program offered, and to also show those who were seeking the services the successes that were happening there. So I wanted to focus on some of these youth who were really starting to have better life changes. They were really starting to do well in school, and they were really starting to become happier children and families, all because of working with a horse. Hmm. So I wanted to put together this little film that showed that and kind of circulated around the reservation. And we worked on this documentary there at SGU. I worked with my co-director on the film. His name is Jim Cortez. He's the head of the media department there at SGU. And we wanted to, the concept was to put together just basically what was happening there in Rosebud. But then we started to think about the concept a little bit more so that we can help share this understanding that the Horse Nation is something that belongs to the Ochete Shakoni people, and not just specifically the Rosebud Sichangu Lakota people. So in order to really make my effort be truthful and show people that I was respectful in what I was trying to do, I broadened this idea and started trying to travel to all the different reservations that I could and include their perspective as far as how they were talking about the horse. So when we were looking at what was happening at the program with the equine therapy, I was also visiting with tribal elders and cultural bearers and people who had knowledge of our history, our culture, specifically around the horse. And I started hearing all these really awesome stories being told that were really influential to me. And I recognized the importance of documenting some of that and wanting to make sure that future generations and our youth could really find something that was special and very significant about their identity, and maybe they could build on top of that. So I really wanted to record as much of the grassroots people, or as we call it, Ikche people, the common people, their stories that often get kind of overlooked and not always given the opportunity to be shared. So we put together this documentary film, and all that process through that, I was looking for ways to make it as interesting as I could. And being an artist, I really always want to be as supportive to the arts as I can. So I wanted to include artworks by our artists of our people, so that we can also support the arts and show them, you know, show their gifts to the audiences that would be watching this film. So I've reached out to artists that I consider great artists and my friends, and just put out general calls for anybody within social media realms. And I also started visiting with collections within South Dakota. So I reached out to a few, and one of them was the Heritage Center at Red Cloud Indian School. And they have a really strong legacy with the arts, and very strong for South Dakota and for our tribal arts up here in the Northern Plains. So I talked with them, and I was talking with their then curator, Mary Maxim, who also has her history there at the Dahl Arts Center in Rapid City. And we started talking about this idea, and she was all supportive of it, and she helped me out. So I traveled down to Red Cloud and worked with their assistant curator, Ashley Puyer, then. And we pulled all these images and artworks together just based off of, you know, using the horse in the artwork, references to the horse in the titles or the materials used with horsehair and stuff like that. And then we originally planned to include those artworks once we pulled them all from their database. They were supposed to be used in the film. Unfortunately, because of the editing processes and everything like that, we were unable to use those images. Mm. But they were all marked. They were all identified. So I got caught up with getting this film released, and I started talking. I stayed in contact with Mary Maxim, who eventually transitioned from curator into the director of the Heritage Center, and Ashley Puyer, who moved up from the co-curator or assistant curator to the actual head curator of the Heritage Center. And we talked about this idea of just having these pieces that were already identified put on exhibit within the Heritage Center and their gallery space there on Pine Ridge Reservation. And that way we could continue to just be supportive and share this story of the horse nation, and focus it on trying to help educate the people there in Pine Ridge, the Oglala Lakota people. And that was fine. We were happy with that idea, and we were going to follow through with that. But as we moved along, Mary, as the director, started also visiting with other staff people or those at Red Cloud Indian School. And they came up with the idea that this has the potential to be more than just only for the Heritage Center. And they wanted to seek funding and more support for it. So a couple grant opportunities came across their table, and they wanted to seek those out. So we put together language about what it is that we wanted to do with this exhibit. And that was to keep it really led by the artists and let them be more involved in deciding what it is that these exhibits should portray when they're representing a people, and also try to open it up to more community engagement. So we applied for different sources of support. Some we didn't get, but some we did. And one of the major ones who was very interested in this idea, and it fell in line with their mission, was the Andy Warhol Foundation. So they came out and they visited with the Heritage Center and the staff who were behind this exhibit proposal. And they enjoyed it, I guess, and they also felt like they wanted to be a part of it. So they provided the funding. And that really opened up a lot more opportunities for what we were going to be able to do with the exhibit.
Yeah.
And then that kind of led into what actually we were able to do. And that's a lot of more specific details. I don't know if you want to go into
it's quite a journey already. Yeah. Explain to me what Horse Nation means. Like, when you say that, what do you mean by Horse Nation?
So in looking at our cultures, most people kind of are aware of us as the Sioux people of the Great Plains. We identify ourselves as the Ochete Shakoni people, and that is the seven council fires of the Sioux people. And within that seven council fires, it includes the Lakota people, which are mainly out in the western side of the South Dakota state, the Dakota people, who are kind of the originators of our people, and they're more from this eastern side of the state and up into like the woodland areas of Minnesota and into Canada. And then the Nakota people, who are kind of more located in central South Dakota, like around the Yankton Sioux Rez.
Okay.
So the Lakota, Dakota, Nakota people, we're all very unique. Each council fire is very unique, but they're also very, very similar, and they stay connected. They stayed connected over many, many, you know, centuries. And one of the things that we all have in common is this philosophy of being able to look at our spiritualities and our beliefs, systems, as a way of really emphasizing the importance of kinship. So when the people pray, they always pray to these gods, these relatives is more of what they consider them, to always strengthen those ideas of having relatives that come help you. So with that kind of philosophy, the people are in understanding that their place in the world goes beyond just dominance over other life forms. So animals, plant life, stuff like that isn't below the person. They're greater than or equal to. And that goes with our belief with horses. When we look at horses, we can recognize that they are animals. You know, they have a different way about life than a human being does. But at the same time, they also hold a lot of very strong spiritual nature, you know. Mm-hmm. And we recognize that, and we call them their own nation of people. And I think over so much time of being in contact with horses and living with horses, that the people were able to observe how very special these horses were. And then just to truly stamp that in their mind that these are a nation of themselves and they carry their own significance in relation to all these other aspects of our way of life.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what the horse nation is.
Huh. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the exhibit and putting it together. And you mentioned you wanted it to be led by the artists, which is somewhat of a difference from a traditional exhibition gathering. Tell me what you mean by that and how you sort of connected with the artists to help them direct what this exhibition was going to be like.
Okay, so they were very interested in trying this exhibition as one of the first steps in a new direction for the Heritage Center. And a lot of these things have happened before. This isn't something new as far as involving the artist. But for this exhibit and to make it follow in line with the grant that they received from the Andy Warhol Foundation, they really wanted to put emphasis on how important artists are. Beyond just only producers of the artwork, they also have all of these critical thoughts, and they can use their ways of thinking critically to help shape the potentials of what art can do, to help reveal the dynamics of its power of art. And we really wanted to help support the artists and start to encourage them so they can understand that they can do more than only produce the artwork and then hand it over to the curators, and that's their relationship with what's gonna be the outcome of creating their artworks. So they approached me because I was working on this project of this documentary film, and it kind of led itself into this exhibit having all of these artworks kind of identified and creating these discussions around it. So I was on board from the beginning, and I was just willing to be there just because I truly believe in doing something that's uplifting for our people and for the artists and all these different parties that are involved. But I also wanted to make it so that it wasn't only focused on myself, and that we can make it more of a collaborative and collective effort, so we can really start showing the artists this uniqueness of who they are, this philosophy that exists within them as people of the Ocheté Shakome, that they can look at their fellow artists as relatives, they can ask them for help, they can work together so that they're not put against each other to compete for merits or for individual successes, even though those are okay. We wanted to try to really reinforce the importance of our culture and our ways of life that we represent in our artworks. So we wanted to work together and bring together all of these artists who are very sincere in that moral kind of way of thinking. And also we wanted to give preference to those who would understand what it is that we were trying to do with honoring this horse nation. So some of these artists who have lived with horses and who have been incorporating them in their artworks, to give them an opportunity to really, truly honor that horse, you know, beyond just being a master at replicating it on a in a medium, an art medium, they can go beyond that and they can start really thinking more about the horse and helping to influence others within that journey. And I also kind of wanted to go back to the a lot of those who helped me out when I was kind of struggling with the documentary film, because I didn't really have a budget for it. And a lot of the artists who contributed to the documentary film by allowing me to use their artwork within the film, a lot of them did that with their generosity. You know, they were just very generous, and they didn't expect to be paid for allowing me to use images in my film. So I wanted, now that we were able to provide funding with the grant and all that, I wanted to give or reward their generosity, and kind of they've already established to me that they're very sincere people. So I know that they would be able to put their all into this next project. So we identified some of the artists based on that. And then we also wanted to see who else we could work with. And we wanted to make sure that we can fill out this roster and make it as authentic as we can for a representation of the Ochete Shakowe. So we had to look at people from all the different reservations, representatives from the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota nations, and also try to kind of balance out the different type of art forms that these people were known for and that they were able to do.
Yeah. So you traveled.
Yeah.
you had to put some miles in for this.
At first, I mean, in the planning stages, a lot of it was handled through the beautiful miracle of technology. but then when we started to do a lot more, like pulling people together and actually having personal meetings, you know, because it was important to get that communication in person instead of through messages and stuff like that, that we had to have gatherings together that we can come together and really start trying to express what it is that we were trying to do and help make it grow by hearing their feedback and having them start to invest themselves into it. So we did eventually end up starting to travel more and more. And our first meeting was in Sioux Falls, actually, during the Northern Plains Indian Art Market. We had a little meeting there, and some of the artists came together. Then we went to Rapid City, and we did one there. And then we kind of started to schedule a few others. And then these following meetings, after just having the artists present, then we started to involve community people. So persons that I worked with on the film who had their own experiences and their own knowledges that they could share regarding the horse and regarding the identity of our people and all these other things that we wanted this exhibit to encompass, we started to coordinate gatherings around that. So the first was a men's group of all horsemen with different backgrounds. They came together and they shared about what it is the horse is and how we should start shaping what it is we're trying to do with the exhibit. Then we had a woman's meeting. You know, we wanted to really include the woman's perspective that kind of gets overlooked as well, too. So we welcomed them to Rapid City, and they shared their perspectives on how important the horse is. Mm-hmm. And all the meanwhile, myself, Mary Maxim, Ashley Puyer, we're taking notes. You know, we're taking all of this in so that we can make sure that the exhibit truly represents the voices of all these people. And it's not only, you know, what it is that we're interested in or what we want to see, but we're carrying all of these people's combined voices and perspectives to ultimately show how grand this horse nation, you know, is.
Did you learn things from listening to people that you didn't already know or that gave you a different perspective personally?
Yes, I truly did. You know, I'm not an expert horse person. I grew up with horses, but I don't own any horses now. You know, it's been a while since I rode. You know, I had to get refreshed again, just living as a Lakota person again. But visiting with a lot of these elders throughout making the film, it really started to open up my eyes again to how important our identity is. You know, how special this history is that we have, that we forget, that is starting to get lost, you know. And it's very crucial to start reviving a lot of these things and making sure they exist for future generations that are yet to come, and even for our generations now who are looking for something that can possibly help them. So myself personally, I learned a lot. You know, I continue to learn a lot, and I'm very, very thankful. I mean, I do consider myself very blessed to have been given this opportunity to start working with with these people and just observing everything that's out there that gets overlooked, you know, and experiencing a lot of very special things, you know, and very intimate conversations between different people who I've never, you know, ever imagined I would meet, you know, and just being real welcoming and starting to understand that philosophy of being a relative and thinking of each other in that way so that we can communicate and be willing to share, you know, very important stories, you know, that maybe you would never share with a stranger.
Hmm. Did you see that coming as a potential impact of art, is sort of that community and those kind of conversations and that intimacy? If I asked you about the potential impact of an art exhibit, that might not be the first thing that came to mind. Was that a surprise to you, that those kind of conversations and relationships really built through planning the exhibit?
Well, I think I'm also kind of biased because I am an artist, you know, and I'm always...
You knew it all along.
I'm always, you know, been a deep believer that art has strong power and it can do much more than, you know, leave a person with a finished object or a piece of merchandise that they can possibly sell, that it can totally create communication and transfers of energy between different peoples, you know, and it can lead to changes, you know. People can actually have different lifestyles because of something as simple as, you know, coming together to look at a piece of art and then to start talking about it. But so myself personally, I guess I did kind of imagine that I saw the bigger picture in my own mind, you know, like I envisioned this all from the beginning, that there's a lot of good that's going to come from this. I didn't necessarily know every single detail about it. I just kept faith and also very much acknowledge and remind everybody involved and myself that it's not all me who's pulling this together. It's not all us, the humans who are pulling this together, who are involved. A lot of it relies on this energy, this transcendent energy that is this Horse Nation, and even other elements within our belief and our spirituality. You know, I think a lot of that contributes to making a lot of this good stuff happen. And it's hard to kind of, maybe for most people to believe that, but a lot of those who have been invested in this for a long time and who have really been given as much as they can to this, I think they all witness that in some way. Hmm. That they truly see that this is something for a greater cause.
How old were you when you started calling yourself an artist or considering yourself an artist? Did that come naturally for you, or was that a leap where you had to say, yes, this is who I am?
Probably when I graduated high school and I decided that I need something to do and I wanted to go to college to learn more about art. And when I was in that process, and I just decided, okay, I love this. I want to do this for the rest of my life. And I'm still learning as well, too, exactly what is an artist and, you know, what is my purpose as an artist.
As a teacher, you taught a class today and your students didn't want you to leave. They didn't want that day to end.
I was just joking about that, but I have been teaching for a while. You know, I teach here at the University of South Dakota as a graduate student. I also teach in the summer times through the Oscar Howe Summer Art Institute that USD, USD... It's there.
Yeah. And you've been able to sort of pass on some of what you believe about art, as well as the techniques and skills that you know, to other people. What's that experience like for you teaching?
Just like how I get information from those who reach me, you know, like any class that we take, we're going to find stuff that is interesting to us that we're going to attach ourselves to. We're going to forget a lot of stuff. Like, I can't remember all of the steps that there are for doing math. I can't remember all of the specific steps there are for writing English and stuff like that. But certain things will always stick in my mind, like some of these really great stories that were told by elders about horses and their relationship to the thunder beings, you know. So stuff like that I will always remember. And I think with students, We just have to offer what it is that we're able to offer. And if it's something that interests them and is of value to them, they'll seek further, you know, and they'll find stuff that they can make it their own and they can build upon that. And I think that that's what I can offer as a teacher whenever I try to teach students, that I just show them all of the stuff that I know exists out there. And if it's resourceful to any of them, I'm there to be supportive and help them pursue something so ultimately they can have something positive they can utilize in their life that they can share with the world.
This exhibit travels across the state.
Yes, our intention for this exhibit, once we started to really think about it, was to make it a traveling exhibit, especially after we got the funding to help support its duration. And we really wanted to primarily make it travel within our homelands. We wanted to make it accessible to our people. A lot of those who never have the opportunity or who never go into gallery spaces or museums and stuff like that, we wanted to show, try to help bring them into those spaces so they can see all of this value that exists that they are not aware of. So we really wanted to focus it on our region first within the Dakotas, Minnesota, Nebraska, where the Ochete Shakoni historically live and where they still live today. And it's going to travel from 2016 to 2019. So it opened at the Red Cloud Heritage Center. And now it's going to be moving to Rapid City, its second venue in the Black Hills. And then it's going to start to make its way to the east.
What are your hopes for it as it sort of launches into the world now?
Well, as we started to really work on this, there was so much very exciting things that kept coming up every single day. Every time we start talking about it, more and more starts coming up about what we can truly do with this instead of it just being only literally an exhibit that has these things on display. We wanted to find more ways to build upon all of these very cool ideas that we were thinking about, utilizing the artists, helping them to step up as leadership and start influencing their community, start engaging in conversations that can start bridging different resources and different communities, you know, start making this expand. It's very special to who we are, you know, it's very authentic to who we are. But at the same time, it has this ability to start to be more inclusive beyond just Native peoples, beyond Ochete Shakoni peoples. And I always say this as well, too, is like this idea of the Horse Nation, that can be something that others can start to plug themselves into. People who have horses, there's a lot of people who love horses out there. As long as they, you know, think of their horses, maybe they may make prayers for their horses for whatever belief that they have. Maybe they just feed their horses before they feed themselves. That is living philosophy of the Lakota people, the Ochete Shakoni people, of understanding that horse nation. And they can come to this exhibit and share their perspectives. That horse is still being utilized as what it was doing for our people long ago. You know, we can use that horse to carry us into the future, to other things, to better things, to good things, you know, to accomplishments, stuff like that. That's the way I view this Horse Nation exhibit.